The Autobiography of George Mueller, page 378. I delight to speak of the balance of 1,489 pounds, 7 shillings, 9 dimes, in hand on May 26, 1857, for when I first made known my purpose to enlarge this work so as to receive 1,000 orphans instead of 300, many may have thought there was no likelihood of my obtaining the 35,000 pounds needed for the building for the 700 orphans, still less of my being able to provide for them. But see how God wrought. Only 3,200 pounds more was needed on May 26, 1857, to complete the 35,000 pounds. And when I was on the point of beginning to make arrangements for the reception of 400 more orphans, when the expenses would be unusually large, even before the 400 were actually housed, the Lord allowed us to enter upon a new period with a balance of 1,489 pounds, 7 shillings, 9 dimes, as if he meant thereby to say, "Fear not, I will be with thee, and will help thee also when the 400 more orphans shall have been received, yea, when all the 1,000 shall be under thy care." Thus, as the work has been enlarged, to put unbelief to shame, the Lord has kept pace in his faithfulness with the enlargement, and often has given even more abundantly, comparatively, than when it was small. It is not that our principles are altered. It is not that we act differently from what we did between 1838 and 1843, when almost habitually we were very poor. But it pleased God, because he had given it to me, to go forward in faith for a testimony to an unbelieving world, and for the comfort and encouragement of the church at large, to show how he delights to honor those who honor him and put their trust in him. Declines to receive 100 pounds as provision for the future. October the 12th, there was sent to me a check for 100 pounds, with the donor's request to receive this for myself, as the beginning of a fund for my support when advanced in years, and for that of my family. This kind and well-intended proposal by the donor, who since has died, appeared to me as a subtle temptation laid for me, though far from being intended so by him, to depart from the principles on which I had been acting for 26 years, both regarding myself and the orphan work. I gave the account of this circumstance fully, as it may be profitable to my readers. Dear sir, in admiration of the services which you have rendered to poor orphans and mankind in general, I think it right that some provision should be made for yourself. I think it right to send you 100 pounds as a beginning, which I hope many good Christians will add to form a fund for the maintenance of yourself and your family, and I hope you will lay out this as a beginning accordingly. May God bless you in your labors, as he has hitherto done in everything connected with your institution. I am, dear sir, by God's grace, I had not a moment's hesitation as to what to do. While most fully appreciating the great kindness of the donor, I looked upon this as a temptation, permitted by God to put my trust in something else than himself, and I therefore sent the following reply. My dear sir, I hasten to thank you for your kind communication and to inform you that your check for 100 pounds has safely come to hand. I have no property whatever, nor has my dear wife, nor have I had one shilling regular salary as a minister of the gospel for the last 26 years, nor as the director of the orphan houses and the other objects of the Scriptural Knowledge Institution for home and abroad. When I am in need of anything, I fall on my knees and ask God that he would be pleased to give me what I need, and he puts it into the heart of someone or other to help me. Thus, all my wants have been amply supplied during the last 26 years, and I can say to the praise of God, I have lacked nothing. My dear wife and my only child, a daughter, 24 years old, are of the same mind. Of this blessed way of living, none of us is tired, but we become day by day more convinced of its blessedness. I have never thought it right to make provision for myself or my dear wife and daughter, except in this way, that when I have seen a case of need, such as an aged widow, a sick person, or a helpless infant. I have used the means freely which God has given me, fully believing that, if either myself or my dear wife or daughter, at some time or other, should be in need of anything, God would richly repay what was given to the poor, considering it is as lent to himself. Under these circumstances, I am unable to accept your kind gift of £100 towards making a provision for myself and family, and so I understand your letter. Anything given to me, unasked for, by those who have it in their heart to help to supply my personal and family expenses, I thankfully accept, or any donation for the work of God in which I am enlarged, I also thankfully accept, as a steward of the orphans, etc. But your kind gift seems to me especially given to make a provision for myself, which I think would be displeasing to my Heavenly Father, who has so bountifully given me my daily bread hitherto. But should I have misunderstood the meaning of your letter, be pleased to let me know. I hold the check till I hear again from you. In the meantime, my dear sir, whatever your letter meant, I am deeply sensible of your kindness, and daily pray that God would be pleased richly to recompense you, both temporarily and spiritually. I am, dear sir, yours very grateful, George Mueller. 2 days after I received a reply in which the donor desired me to use the $100 for the support of the orphans, for which object I gladly accepted this sum. The day after that, I received another £100 from the same donor, and 4 days after, £100 more, all for the support of the orphans, and from an individual whom I have never seen. 1857, spoils which God's grace won. January 7th, last evening, I received, just after having again prayed for diamonds, jewelry, etc., a ring set with a brilliant scent from Worcestershire. A Christian lady had been conversing with her husband on the power of prayer, and in conversation brought forward a report of the Scriptural Knowledge Institution. After a little more conversation, the husband took this ring from his finger and said to his wife, "Send this to Mr. Mueller." February 23rd. This evening I had been again asking the Lord, among many other petitions, to incline the hearts of his children, who know of this work, to send me their diamonds, jewelry, old gold and silver coins, or other valuable, not needless articles, to be disposed of for the benefit of this work. About half an hour after, I received a small box containing the following valuable articles: a ring set with a brilliant, 5 other gold rings, 3 gold brooches, a pearl brooch, 10 other brooches, a watch hook, a gold chain, a gold watch guard, 2 gold bracelets, a silver card case, a pair of bracelets with gold snaps, 3 breast pins, 2 jet necklaces, and a small heart of agate. With particular delight, I unpacked this little box to look at the spoils which the grace of God had won in the heart of his child, who had dedicated them to his service, and it afforded me further encouragement to pray for similar manifestations of grace in other children of God. April the 14th, today, was paid to me the legacy of the late Mrs. S., being £200. As in every way, the last year was the most remarkable of all the 23 years this work has been in existence. So also in this particular, that in this 1 year more came in by legacies than during all the previous 22 years reckoned together, but all without my using any other means than prayer. The expenditure for the orphans from May 26, 1856 to May 26, 1857 was £3,893.06, 2.5 dimes. May 26, 1857 to May 26, 1858. At the commencement of this period, we had a balance of £1,489.07, 9 dimes in hand towards the support of the orphans. But we had, on the other hand, expenses awaiting us, such as we never had before. For not only was the house, which had been 4 years filled with its 300 orphans, still further to be supplied, but the opening of the second house for 400 additional orphans was before us, in which it was expected that children surely would be received for whom considerable preparations had to be made by laying in a large stock of various kinds of materials for clothes, etc. Large, therefore, as the balance was with which we commenced, yet had not our faithful prayer hearing and answering God and Father helped us further, we should very soon have had our means exhausted. The second house was opened November 12, 1857. The Lord had been mindful of this and allowed us with a balance of £2,292, 11¾ dime, to begin housekeeping in it. See, dear reader, how blessed it is to rely upon the living God. May 27, on the very first day of this period, I have received from a new donor, an entire stranger to me, residing in the Presidency of Calcutta, £5, which is likely in earnest from my Heavenly Father, that during this period also he will supply me with all I need. June 7th, received £50, paid by the publishers for the copyright of a memoir. The authoress had from the beginning intended that whatever the copyright of her work might produce should be given to me for the benefit of the orphans, and this sum was obtained. June 22nd, from a new donor at Birmingham, £50. It is especially to be observed that the abundance was given, although, as the readers have seen, a large balance was left at the close of the former period, and one of the auditors of the accounts observed that it would be considered bad policy to publish a report with such a balance in hand. But on my part, I glory in being able to show how the Lord is not only willing to provide for us as much as we absolutely need, but even does so bountifully. October 3rd, today one of the former orphans, who was converted more than 2 years before he left the orphan house, and who has now been about 5 years out of the house, came to converse with me about becoming a missionary. October 13th, received from Brixton £1.05.6, with the following communication. A dear Christian gentleman at the head of a house in the city, and writing to me, says, I have sustained a heavy pecuniary loss, and therefore wish to sanctify the loss by giving 20 shillings to the orphan house. Please send that sum for me. I will repay you. Pause, dear reader. A heavy pecuniary loss is made an occasion for this donation, not a considerable gain. A heavy loss should lead us to pause and ponder, and consider what the Lord's voice to us is in it. Perhaps the reason is that we live too much as owners and possessors, instead of stewards for the Lord, and that therefore he was obliged to take part of that which we possess from us. If so, let us be benefited by the loss. But suppose this is not the reason. Suppose the Lord allowed the loss only to take place for the trial of our faith and patience. Yet we should, whilst meekly bowing under the hand of God, say to ourselves that the Lord might have taken all instead of part, and that therefore we ought to make good use of our stewardship respecting the means which are still left to us. I once knew the proprietors of a house of business to be suddenly and deeply afflicted. My advice to my Christian friends was to be grateful to God that he had not taken all from them. I said to them that were I in their position, I should express my gratitude to the Lord by a thank offering to him that this sudden calamity had not taken away the whole of my property. These Christian friends, I found afterwards, resolved to give to the Lord £100 as a thanks offering for having dealt so mercifully with them, and for not having allowed them to lose all. Well, dear reader, what do you think of this? You think perhaps this was very strange. Yes, it was very strange, according to the principles of this world. But what will you think when I tell you that these Christian friends have had that £100 repaid, not merely tenfold, 24-fold, nor 100-fold, but far more than 1,000-fold. Difficulty about a boiler overcome by prayer. Towards the end of November 1st, was most unexpectedly informed that the boiler of our heating apparatus leaked very considerably, so that it was impossible to go through the winter with such a leak. Our heating apparatus consisted of a large cylindrical boiler inside of which the fire is kept, and with which boiler the water pipes that warms the rooms are connected. Hot air is also conducted by this apparatus. The boiler had been considered suitable for the work of the winter. To suspect that it was worn out and not to do anything towards replacing it, buy a new one, and to have said, I will trust in God regarding it, could be careless presumption, not faith in God. It would be the counterfeit of faith. The boiler is entirely surrounded by brickwork. Its state, therefore, could not be known without taking down the brickwork. This, if needless, would be rather injurious if the boiler than otherwise. And as for the 8 winters, we had no difficulty in this way. We had not anticipated it now. But suddenly and most unexpectedly at the commencement of the winter, this difficulty occurred. What then was to be done? For the children, especially the younger infants, I felt deeply concerned that they might not suffer through want of warmth. But how were we to obtain warmth? The introduction of a new boiler would, in all probability, take many weeks. The repairing of the boiler was a questionable matter on account of the greatness of the leak. But if not, nothing could be said of it till the brick chamber in which it is enclosed was, at least in part, removed. And that would, at least as far as we could judge, take days. And what was to be done in the meantime to find warm rooms for 300 children? It naturally occurred to me to introduce temporary gas stoves. But on further weighing the matter, it was found that we should be unable to heat our very large rooms with gas unless we had many stoves, which we could not introduce, as we had not a sufficient quantity of gas to spare from our lighting apparatus. But what was to be done? Gladly would I have paid £100 if thereby the difficulty could have been overcome, and the children not to be exposed to suffer for many days from being in cold rooms. At last, I determined on falling entirely into the hands of God, who is very merciful and of tender compassion, and I decided on having the brick chamber open to see the extent of the damage and whether the boiler might be repaired so as to carry us through the winter. The day was fixed when the workmen were to come, and all the necessary arrangements were made. The fire, of course, had to be let out while the repairs were going on. But now see, after the day was fixed for the repairs, a bleak north wind set in. It began to blow either on Thursday or Friday before the Wednesday afternoon when the fire was to be let out. Now came the first really cold winter, which we had in the beginning of that winter, during the first days of December. What was to be done? The repairs could not be put off. I now asked the Lord for two things, viz. That he should be pleased to change the north wind into a south wind, and that he would give to the workmen a mind to work. For I remember how much Nehemiah accomplished in 52 days while building the walls of Jerusalem, because the people had a mind to work. Well, the memorable day came, the evening before the bleak north wind blew still. But on the Wednesday, the south wind blew, exactly as I had prayed. The weather was so mild that no fire was needed. The brickwork was removed. The leak was found out very soon. The boilermakers began to repair in good earnest. About 8:30 in the evening, when I was going home, I was informed at the lodge that the acting principal of the firm whence the boilermakers came had arrived to see how the work was going on and whether he could in any way speed the matter. I went immediately, therefore, into the cellar to see him about the men, to seek to expedite the business. In speaking to the principal of this, he said in their hearing, the men will work late this evening and come very early again tomorrow. We would rather, sir, said the leader, work all night. Then remember I the second part of my prayer, that God would give the men a mind to work. Thus it was. In the morning the repair was accomplished. The leak was stopped, though with great difficulty, and within about 30 hours the brickwork was up again and the fire in the boiler. And all the time the south wind blew so mildly that there was not the least need of a fire. Here, then, is one of our difficulties, which was overcome by prayer and faith. For nearly 3 months all went on well, but at the end of February another leak appeared, which was worse than the previous one. But out of this difficulty also we were helped through prayer, so that without any real inconvenience the repairs were accomplished within about 30 hours. Thus, we were carried through that winter, and in the spring, a new boiler was ordered to be made. 1858, January 1st. The Lord has again dealt bountifully with me in a variety of ways, especially as regards pecuniary supplies. Long before the break of day, I heard something drop into the letterbox at my house and said to myself, "This is the Lord's earnest to provide me this year also with what I shall need." On opening the box, I found two packets of money in it. The first contained £12.03 with this communication: "Please accept the enclosed £12.03 to pay for the maintenance of one of the little orphans for the present year." The other packet contained anonymously £2.02 6 times. January 17th, I had just been asking the Lord for more means when there was handed to me a letter containing a check for £30 from the neighborhood of Ashby de la Zouch. The donor had only on September 6th sent £25 for the orphans. He used to give about £5 per year formerly, but as the work is enlarged, the Lord has inclined him to give more. Refuses an offer of 100 guineas to take in an orphan out of turn. Autobiography of George Mueller, page 384. Refuses an offer of 100 guineas to take in an orphan out of turn. January 19th. Yesterday I received a letter stating that a stranger had offered to pay 100 guineas to the funds of the institution if, together with an orphan girl who was to be received, I would at the same time admit her brother, whose turn was not come. This was, of course, declined, as the cases of the orphans are considered in the order in which applications are made and according to the vacancies which occur for boys and girls, and money never influences me in the least. Now see, Christian reader, how God recompensated this acting in his fear irrespective of the loss of money. The lady who received this negative reply, an entire stranger to me, very kindly sent me £300 a little while after, though the little boy was not admitted. February 2nd. Today I took the first active steps towards the building of the third house, when immediately afterwards I was informed by letter that a lady in London, an entire stranger to me, had ordered her bankers to send me £300 for the support of the orphans. I was also further informed in the evening that in 2 weeks £800 would be paid to me for the work of the Lord. Some of my readers may be inclined to say that there is no difficulty at all in carrying on this work, as there is so much coming in from so many hundreds of persons in various parts of the kingdom and the world, who feel interested in it, that anyone could do this. My reply is, yes, anyone whom God has called for such a work, and who really trusts in Him, will be supplied with means. But I really trust in God is needed for it, else such a one would soon be overpowered by the difficulties. While I am writing this, end of May 1858, week after week has passed away for about 10 weeks, when the income has been generally 100, 200, or £300 per week less than the expenses. And had not the Lord so richly supplied us previously, we should be very poor indeed, humanly speaking. What is to be done under such circumstances? To trust in what we have in hand, to depend upon the liberality of former donors, or to trust in the number of reports which have been circulated? All these would be found broken reeds if leaned upon. We trust alone in the living God, and are assured that either before that which we have in hand is gone, He will send help, or when it is gone. For Himself, as with an unseen hand, has led me on to the enlargement of the work, and causes it still further to be enlarged, week after week. This trust in the living God, but this alone, keeps my heart in peace. Were I to look at things after the outward appearances, there is no natural prospect of my being carried through the constantly reoccurring large demands before me. Prayed money out of the Chancellor's court. February 4th. In September 1856, I was informed that the late Mrs. S. of Clifton had left me, for the benefit of the orphans, a legacy of £500. When, therefore, about 14 months had elapsed, and the legacy was not paid to me, I felt it my duty as a steward to ask whether there was any reason why the legacy was not paid, and was informed by the solicitor, in whose hands the business was, that that part of the property out of which the legacy was to be paid was into Chancery, Chancery. Most of my readers will therefore suppose there was but one little prospect of soon obtaining the money. However, my universal remedy for every difficulty, trial, and disappointment, via faith and prayer, was now resorted to, and I asked the Lord that He would be pleased, contrary to all human appearances, to cause this money soon to come to hand, and accordingly, on February 4, 1858, the legacy of £500 was paid to me, with interest, from August 29, 1857, up to this day, at the rate of 4%, being £8.09, one dime. Let this incident be a further encouragement to the believing reader to turn everything into prayer for the removal of his difficulties, but at the same time to wait patiently the Lord's time and fully to believe that as assuredly as it is a real good for him, the answer will be granted. The expenditure for the orphans from May 26, 1857 to May 26, 1858 was £5,513, 5 shillings, 7½ dimes. May 26, 1858 to May 26, 1859. At the commencement of this period, we had a balance in hand of £2,997, 1 dime. A far greater sum than we ever had before at the commencement of a new period. June 20th. Today I found paid to my credit at my banker's by a donor at a considerable distance the sum of £3,500, of which the donor kindly wished me to keep for my own personal expenses £100, to give to Mr. Craig £50, and to take the remaining £3,350 for the benefit of the orphans. This donor, whom I have never seen, wrote with references to this donation. Since I first heard of your establishment, I had given it a chief preference in the disposal of my property. But now, seeing my time here cannot be long, I am persuaded it is far better for me to present you with the amount while I live, if the Lord permit. Pray that the Lord may graciously accept it at my hands, enable me to be deeply humbled and thankful that He has so greatly favored one so unworthy. Observe the following points in connection with this donation. Number 1, I have never seen the donor. Number 2, simply in answer to our daily prayers to the living God, He is thus pleased to work for us. Number 3, the donor gives while living. Thus the uncertainty of obtaining the money left by will is avoided, and the considerable legacy duty is saved. Number 4, the above sum was given to me at a period when we not only had to expend far more money than ever for the current expenses, but also when for many weeks past we had had but little comparatively coming in. Thus the Lord, by this most unexpected abundancy, showed afresh how small a matter it is with Him to make up for deficiencies. Number 5. Take lastly in connection with this, that I stated when first I made known my intention of increasing the number of orphans to 1,000 instead of 300, viz. That the Lord would be able to provide for the 1,000 as easily as for the 300. How greatly has He helped in the work since that time in such a variety of ways. And this most unexpected large donation from this humble follower of the Lord Jesus is one of the many remarkable proofs He has given me sense of the readiness of His heart to help me. July 7. From Ireland, £5, with the following deeply interesting letter from a manufacturer. I enclosed a post office order for £5, which by the blessing of Almighty God I am enabled to send you this year. You will no doubt remember that the first sum I sent you was 5 shillings, I think now 4 years ago, and indeed at that time it was a large sum for me to send, I might say considerably larger than the present. For some years previous to the time I sent you the first amount, I was at times much perplexed on the subject of giving, and the end of my reasoning was always that a person so straitened in circumstances as I was then was not called upon to give. I kept this opinion until one of your reports fell into my hands, and from the accounts contained therein, was encouraged to send you the first amount of 5 shillings. Soon after, I thought my circumstances got something easier. I then began to seek out cases of distress and relieve them to the best of my ability. And to the astonishment of many who did not know the secret, who wondered how I could give, I have proved that just as I give, the Lord gives in return. For during the time since I first made up my mind to give, with what with weakness of faith and false reasonings of friends, I sometimes withheld what I ought not. And just as I withheld, the Lord in His infinite mercy withheld also. During the panic, which has yet scarcely passed over us, I dealt out to all who came within my reach, according as I considered the circumstances required. And the result is that, although many of the same trade have been almost ruined, it has been the most prosperous year I have had since I commenced business. I would fill your heart with joy if time and space would permit for me to relate how, in many instances, I was directed to go to such a house and inquire how they were getting on, and to find that I arrived just in time. But, above all, I have to thank God that my spiritual condition is much improved since I began to give, etc. December 3rd. For 3 weeks, the income has been about one-third only of the expenses. Yet the Lord supplied us bountifully before Him, and my full expectation was that He would again help us more fully. Now today has been a day, as in former times. I received from one of the Midland counties 50 pounds and 7 smaller amounts from various places. December the 16th. We have now 299 orphans in number 2 and 299 in number 1, just an equal number. What help has the Lord given in filling up number 2 since this day, 12 months? From Sunderland, from a lady who has found Christ, a gold ring set with 6 pearls and a ruby, a gold ring set with 3 emeralds and 10 small diamonds, a gold ring set with turquoises, and a pair of gold earrings. 1859, January 1st. Week after week of late, the income has been far less than the expenses, though much has come in. Now, on this first day of the year, the Lord has richly made up for all deficiencies. The first letter I opened contained advice from an anonymous donor at Manchester to call at a certain bank in Bristol for £110 as a New Year's gift for the orphans, with the request that I would not seek to ascertain the name of the donor. The next letter contained information from a donor in London that there had been paid to my bankers the sum of £1,000, of which £500 was for the orphans. On January 2nd came in 18 donations, of which I will only mention £10 from Sydenham, and an anonymous donor of £50 from New York received also the £7,000, to which reference has been made in writing about donations for the building fund, of which I took £1,000 for the support of the orphans, January 12th. From Westerham, in 88 small donations, £4, 8 shillings, 6 dimes, January 17th. From Florence, £5, January 18th. From one who was formerly under our care as an orphan and who is now in Australia, £5. January 20th. From Bonn in Prussia, 10 Prussian thalers from a Dutch lady and 1 thaler from the sender. Again, I call upon the reader to see the great variety of ways in which the Lord helps me. By 88 small donations, £4, 8 shillings, 6 dimes is made up, while at other times one single donation brings £1,000, £2,000, £3,000, or even £7,000 or £8,100. Then again, from all parts of the world, donations come in. God has not failed me at any time. 40 years, 1874, have I proved His faithfulness in this work, and it was about 36 years ago when great poverty and need began to come upon me in connection with this work that the Lord, in the most marketed and manifest manner, stretched forth His hand, This almost uninterrupted poverty continued for 5 years, but God always helped me. During the last 20 years, gradually, my dealings have been different. Still, even during this period, I have had numberless spiritual and temporal necessities to bring before God in prayer, and He has uniformly helped me. This same peace and joy in God, resulting from becoming increasingly acquainted with Him, by waiting upon Him, looking to Him, trusting in Him, in the greatest difficulties and under the greatest trials, and even when there is not the least natural prospect of being helped, I desire that you, dear reader, may have. The life of the believer in the Lord Jesus is intended to be a very happy one, even here on earth, and this cannot be except your walk as an obedient child and confine fully in your Father who is in heaven. I cannot tell you how happy this service makes me. Instead of being the anxious, careworn man many persons think me to be, I have no anxieties and no cares at all. Faith in God leads me to roll all my burden upon Him, for hundreds are my necessities, besides those connected with money. In every way, I find God to be my helper, even as I trust in Him and pray to Him in childlike simplicity about everything. Be encouraged, dear fellow believer, to go this blessed way yourself, and you will see what peace and joy it affords. January 31st, regarding pecuniary assistance for the work, this has been the most remarkable month during the 25 years I have been engaged in it. There came in for the building fund during this month £4,315.04 for the support of the orphans, £2,215.19, 8.5 dime, and for the other objects, £3,286, 3 shillings, 3 dimes. Altogether, £9,817, 6 shillings, 11.5 dimes. But there was also expended during this 1 month, £4,896, 10 shillings. February 8th, from H.B. in London, £5, as the grateful acknowledgement of one who has experienced the fact that He that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. April 30th, received the following letter from a considerable distance. My dear Christian brother, I am the husband of Mrs. who sends you by this post a 2 sovereign piece. How can we better dispose of this relic of affectionate remembrancy than by depositing it in the bank of Christ, who always pays the best interest and never fails? Now, my best and spiritual counselor, I cannot express to you the exceeding great joy I feel in relating what follows. I am an artist, a poor artist, a landscape painter. About 2 weeks ago, I sent a picture to Bristol for exhibition. Just as I finished your book that was lent us, I most humbly and earnestly pray to God to enable me, by the sale of my Bristol picture, to have the blessed privilege of sending you half the proceeds. The price of the picture is £20. Now, Mark, immediately the exhibition is open. God, in His mercy, mindful of my prayer, sends me a purchaser. I have exhibited in Bristol before, but never sold a picture. Oh, my dear friend, my very heart leaps for joy. I have never been so near God before. Through your instrumentality, I have been enabled to draw nearer to God with more earnestness, more faith, more holy desires. This is the first return God has blessed me with for the whole of my last year's labors. What a blessing to have it so returned. Oh, with what joy I read your book. Of such letters I have had thousands. Mr. Reich joins Mr. Mueller. April the 30th. It was during April of this year that Mr. James Wright, at Mr. Mueller's invitation, joined him in the work. May 18th. Again, anonymously from H.B. £10, with this words, in grateful acknowledgement to our Heavenly Father for an increase of business since last I remitted. This is the 5th donation from the same donor within about 3 months, £45 in all. From Bath, 6 shillings, saved by discontinuing smoking, given up by the help of God, though the donor had smoked 18 years previously. May 26. It is now 18 months since we began to receive fresh children after the opening of number 2. Since then, we have received altogether 422 orphans. The expenditure for the orphans from May 26, 1858 to May 26, 1859 was £6,974.17/1/2 dime, May 26, 1859 to May 26, 1860. June 17th, this evening, tenders for contracts for the new orphan house number 3 were given in. Thus, we advanced another decided step towards having 1,150 orphans under our care. Under these circumstances, the following donations were particularly refreshing to me. From 2 Dutch ladies residing at Bonn, 7 Prussian thalers for the orphans. From a Dutch baroness, £85.13/1 dime, of which the donor kindly wishes me to keep 2 tenths for myself and to use the remainder for the institution. September 2nd. From Oxfordshire, £50, sent at the request of a Christian young gentleman who had fallen asleep in the Lord by his father, with a grateful heart for what the Lord had done for his son. I never saw either father or son, nor do I otherwise know them. September 9th, from Captain T.S. R.N., £1, with these lines. June 30th, 1859, latitude 23.52 north, longitude 36.9 west, HMS Calcutta. May every blessing attend your charity and yourself. This is one of the 10,000 remarkable ways in which the Lord has helped me from the beginning of the institution. But all comes in answer to prayer. November 15th. Within the last 24 hours, I have drawn checks for current expenses to the amount of £555, and the income during the last days has been less than during any part of the year. But I hope in God and am therefore in peace. November 17th. From Kilder Minister, £50. There was also paid today the legacy of the late Mrs. C., which should have been £100, less legacy duty, £90, but which, through a defect in the will, was only £50, less legacy duty, £45. Half, therefore, of the intended kindness of the testatrix was lost. This leads me to the remark that if any donor wishes to help the institution by legacies, though the more excellent way is during our lifetime to use our means for the Lord if there be no hindrances, it is necessary that their will be worded properly. 1860, January 1st. Early in the morning I found in the letter box at my house 3 papers containing money. The first I opened contained £12.10, with these words, "Will Mr. Mueller please to accept the enclosed £12.10 from, as a contribution from the maintenance of one of the dear little orphans." The next paper I opened contained anonymous donations from 3 servants, viz. £1 from A.B., £1 from M.A., and 2/6 dimes from E.A.W. For many years have these dear servants, entirely unknown to me, contributed thus on the first morning of the year. The third paper contained a sovereign, with these words, "Towards the support of the orphans, from one whom God has wonderfully blessed throughout the year, at this moment passing away." By the first delivery, I received 25 letters. The first I opened contained advice that into one of the Bristol banks had been paid to my credit £262.17, of which the donor, who resides at a distance of about 200 miles, desires £200 to be used for the building of the third orphan house, and £62.17 as a New Year's gift for the support of the orphans. Anonymously from H.B., £17.13, as a thank offering for the mercies of the past year, from believers meeting at the Sand Area Meeting House, Kendal, £30.03. January 14th, from a mercantile gentleman whom I have only once spoken to for a few moments, £1,500, January 17th. Today, it is a 12-month since, day by day, 30 quarts of new milk have been given by a gentleman residing in the neighborhood of Bristol. January 19th, received 705 mugs for the 700 orphans as a present. January 20th, from a Birmingham manufacturer, £50. February 14th, received £2.10/6 dimes with the following letter. "My dear brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, Will you please to accept an order for £2, 10 shillings, 6 dimes for the dear orphans under your care. The history of this small sum is as follows. About 7.5 years ago, your narrative was put into my hands. The Lord very greatly blessed it to my soul. 6 years and 11 months ago, I was enabled to cast myself, my wife, and family upon the Lord and look to Him alone for the support of our temporal necessities while laboring in His glorious cause. From that time to the present, we have had no claims upon any person for a single penny, nor have we made known our wants to any or applied to any person for help but to our Heavenly Father alone. And He has supplied our need and not suffered us to be confounded. Blessed be His name. My dear wife, as well as myself, from the very first had a strong desire to help you a little in your blessed work of love and labor of faith. But for a long time, owing to her continued ill health and the growing expenses of our family, we never seemed to have any money to spare. So all we did was to wish, desire, and talk about it, and say how happy we should be if the Lord would enable us to do so. At length, we both felt we were acting wrongly. And on the 8th of August last, we solemnly decided we would give the Lord back a tenth of the money He was pleased to send us, though at that time we were in deeper poverty than we had ever been before. Yet under those circumstances, we were enabled in the strength of the Lord to come to the above decision and act up to it that very morning, and the peace and joy we both felt, it is in vain for me to attempt to describe. The Lord has kept us firm ever since, and instead of having less for our own use, we have had more. So, dear sir, this sum is the fruit of 6 months' prayers. Pardon me for troubling you with so long an account of so trifling a sum, but I want you to bless our Heavenly Father for His goodness to us, His unworthy servants, and to remember us in your petitions at the throne of grace. Yours very affectionately and respectfully. April the 17th, from Birkenhead, £20, May 26th. The present period closes full of mercies and blessings with regard to means for carrying on the work, as also in every other respect, and I look with peace and comfort to the coming year, though I have reason to believe its expenses will be greater and that about £25,000 will be required to carry me through it. The expenditure for the orphans from May 26, 1859 to May 26, 1860 was £7,699, 13 shillings, 11.5 dimes. May 26, 1860 to May 26, 1861. June 7th, today I had the joy of receiving a long letter from one of the orphans in service giving a full account of her conversion, from which I give the following extract. I, with many others, can look back to the dear orphan house and thank God for placing us under such influence. It was a genuine religious example of all around me while there that impressed my mind with the reality of vital religion. June 8th, from Lancashire, £200. June 15th. From the inmates of the Liverpool Penitentiary, £3, 14 shillings, 3 dimes, and from their matrons, 8 shillings, 9 dimes, being saved by abstaining for 1 month from the use of butter in order to send the allowance to the orphans. August 15th, from the master of a bridge, £2. Being homeward bound from the Mediterranean, he asked the Lord to give him a fair wind through the gut of Gibraltar and said that if so, he would give the amount of the anchorage dues to the Lord for the orphans. He entered the straits, and it fell calm, and he drifted 10 miles back. He then again asked the Lord to help him. A breeze sprung up in the night, and he cleared the straits. October 12th. Received the following valuable donation. A gold brooch, a pair of gold earrings, and 3 rings, all set with pink topazes, a pearl brooch, a large amber necklace, ring and earrings, seed coral bracelets and negligee, a cornelia ring, a negligee from Herculaneum, a pair of gold bracelets set with precious stones, a pair of garnet earrings, a string of coral, a heavy gold chain, a rich Geneva velvet dress, an Indian work scarf, etc., and 5 shillings for carriage. These valuable articles were accompanied by the following lines from the donor: "Some years have passed since any of these idle toys were worn by me, and I think it sinful to lock up anything which may tempt others to sin. While we have time to do good, let us embrace it. And may the offering be accepted by him who sees it in secret and will receive it as done unto himself." The donor lived only a few months after she had sent these articles. Will she regret that she used them for the Lord in her lifetime? Surely not. Christian reader, let us seek more truly to lay hold on eternal life. Let us live for eternity. 1861, January 1st. I found early in the morning before daylight 2 little packages of money in the letterbox at my house. The first contained this letter: "My dear sir, I have the pleasure of enclosing £25 3s 6d, £5 of which please to appropriate to your own use and the remainder to the maintenance of the dear orphans. This money is the first received by me as director's fees of a public company with which I am connected, and I thought I could not do better than consecrate it to such a purpose. Wishing you every success in your holy work, I am, dear sir, yours faithfully." January 10th. Saved in farthings through the past year 3 shillings. What a variety of ways God uses to supply me with means. January 30th. From a commercial gentleman, £500. May 3rd. Anonymously from REI, 13s 6d. With these lines: "It was my idea that when a man had sufficient for his own wants, he ought then to supply the wants of others, and consequently I never had sufficient. I now clearly see that God expects us to give of what we have, and not of what we have not, and to leave the rest to him. I therefore give in faith and love, knowing that if I first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things will be added unto me." May 9th. From Hinckley, 10s 7d, being weekly subscriptions of a halfpenny and a penny from very poor women. May 26th. At the close of the period, I find that the total expenditure for all the various objects was £24,700 16s 4d, or £67 13s 5¾d per day all the year round. During the coming year, I expect the expenses to be considerably greater, but God, who has helped me through many years, will, I believe, help me in future also. The expenditures for the orphans from May 26, 1860 to May 26, 1861 was £8,222 7s 10d. You see, esteemed reader, how the Lord, in his faithful love, helped us year after year. With every year the expenses increased, because the operation of the institution were further enlarged, but he never failed us. You may say, however, what would you do if he should fail in helping you? My reply is, that cannot be, as long as we trust in him and do not live in sin. But if we were to forsake him, the fountain of living waters, and to hew out to ourselves broken cisterns, which cannot hold water, by trusting in an arm of flesh, or if we were to live in sin, we should then have to call upon him in vain, even though we profess still to trust in him according to that word. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalms 66:18. Hitherto, by God's grace, I have been enabled to continue to trust in him alone, and hitherto, though failing and weak in many ways, yet by God's grace I have been enabled to walk uprightly, hating sin and loving holiness, and longing after increased conformity to the Lord Jesus. May 26, 1861 to May 26, 1862. June 5th, legacy of the late Mrs. J, £200. This lady I never saw, yet God inclined her heart to leave this amount in her will for the support of the orphans. A former orphan in a college. August 13th. The following is a letter from an orphan who was the first received into the new orphan house number 1, was converted while there, walked consistently as a believer about a year before he left, and was on May 24, 1852, sent out to be apprenticed. Since then, as far as I know, he has uniformly walked as a believer, and at last, having a great desire either to labor as a missionary abroad or as a preacher of the gospel at home, he went to a newly established college, chiefly for the sake of studying Hebrew and Greek, to be able to understand the Holy Scripture in the original languages. After having been at this college for some time, I saw him, and on his return, there I received this letter. My dear Mr. Mueller, you will be pleased to hear that I have returned to my duties at college with an earnest desire more than ever to devote myself to the service of my beloved Savior. I met with very great encouragement during the latter part of my vacation. Instances of usefulness seemed to multiply around me, and not infrequently did I find that my labors had been crowded with the divine blessing in those parts where I had least expected it. Whilst traveling by rail to an appointment, I met with a person who had heard me preach at nearly 2 years ago, and whom I had never seen from that time to this, but the word then proclaimed was made a great blessing to his soul. I distinctly remember the service, for I had preached that evening under great embarrassment of mind. Was not this pleasing? Need I say that I thanked God and took courage? Whilst preaching lately, I had the pleasure of seeing among the congregation one of the orphan girls, whom I afterwards had an interview with, and was pleased to find her a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think of the valuable advice you gave me during our last interview, and thank you most heartily for it. If it were possible, I should much like to be nearer to you, that I might often have the pleasure of listening to your parental counsels. But my days in the orphan house has passed away. I am now moving in a different sphere, preparing for a great and noble work. My dear sir, may I venture to hope that sometimes at the throne of grace you will remember your orphan child, your son in the gospel. I am anxious to become a good minister of Jesus Christ, the means of turning many to righteousness. I long to be honored by my Lord in the ministry of his word, that when he shall appear, I may receive from him a crown of honored usefulness. I remembered 4 years ago beginning to pray that God would bless me by granting me to know that one soul was brought to the knowledge of the Savior through my instrumentality. That prayer being answered, I prayed for two. That two being granted, I have doubled the number, and I hope that I shall see many, yea, hundreds, saved through my labors. I am asking to be made largely useful, knowing that it is for my Savior's glory. He can make feeble instruments the means of doing great good. I was preaching yesterday at, and on speaking to some friends about the orphan house, they expressed a great desire to have the first part of your life, which I shall feel obliged if you will kindly send me by post for them at your earliest convenience. I enclose stamps for the amount. You will be pleased to hear that two persons to whom I have lent the copy you kindly gave me on leaving the orphan house have been converted through its perusal and are now consistent members of a Christian church. Accept the expression of my gratitude and affection, and with many prayers for the prosperity of the Word of God in your hands, believe me to remain yours affectionately in Christ Jesus. A poor curate's letter, December 6, received £1 with the following letter. Dear Sir, having just received part of my stipend, I have great pleasure in sending you £1 towards the support of the orphans. I am only a poor curate, without any personal property, or I would gladly give more to so noble an institution, having read your narrative and report to the deepest interest. May God still more abundantly bless and prosper you in all endeavors to promote his glory and the increase of true religion. I remain, dear sir, with much respect and esteem, yours truly. 1862, January 1st. The old year has ended in the midst of many mercies, and on the last day many donations had come in. The new year commenced again with much help, especially in the reception of donations. Before daylight, I found in the letterbox at my house a letter containing £15 from a British donor, also a sovereign, with these words: an old year's thank offering for the orphans. From Clifton, £150, with £5 for myself. January 2nd, from Birmingham, £28.08, with the kind promise to repeat this donation every month during this year, January 8th, from a commercial gentleman, £750. March 12th, from a Scott donor, £50. On this day, March 12th, the day of the opening of a new orphan house number 3, on which the expenses of the orphan work were increased about £5,000 annually, came in together, £71.09.5. As if God would say, I will meet the increased expenses, and I give the earnest in what I send this day. April 15th, the number of inmates in the 3 houses exceeds already 800, and about 400 more are expected. The expenses, therefore, are great and becoming larger and larger. This morning came in £100. April 22nd, from Kent, £100. The expenditure for the orphans, from May 26, 1861, to May 26, 1862, was £9,148, 10 shillings, 9 dimes. At the close of the year, I find that the total expenditure for the whole year having been £26,029, 16 shillings, 7 half dimes. The average expense for each of the 365 days was £71, 6 shillings, 3 and a half dimes. Leaving off on page 396.